Welcome, Abundant Babe. I have been waiting for you, and I get the feeling I know you pretty well already. Because like me, you are the visionary, the eternal optimist, the one who embraces all aspects of her intuitive divine feminine while being grounded with ambitious and driven energy. You've got big dreams and you're ready to make it all happen. Well, let me tell you, soul sister, you've come to the right place. The Abundant Babe podcast is designed for goddesses just like you. We will talk about purposeful business, personal growth, mindset, money, manifestation, success, goals, all with a splash of woo and always a tad of silliness. I know you've got it in you, and now is the time, beautiful. Trust in yourself and take action on what myself and other Abundant Babes share in this sacred space, and believe me, babe, your life will continue to change and expand. I'm your host, Viola Hug, multi-passionate entrepreneur, vision alignment coach, and holistic nutritionist. It is so great to have you here. Now let's get into today's episode. Hello and welcome to the Abundant Babes podcast. This is your host, Viola Hug, and I'm here with an incredible woman that I'm so excited to be hosting on the show today. So for those of you who are visionaries, which I'm assuming most of you would resonate with some aspect of being a visionary, you have to get to know this woman because she is also a fellow visionary and just doing such incredible things in the world. Someone that I've been following on social media now for a while, like I'd say at least since probably the end of last year. And I've just seen her growing, impacting so many people. There's always positivity coming off of her. There's authenticity, there's vulnerability, and it's just all those good things that make someone who you can really be inspired by and you know is just adding good things to the world. So please welcome to the Abundant Babes podcast, high-level coach for visionary soulpreneurs, Aislinn Walton. Hello.
Thank you so much for having me today. I am so excited to see what happens as we chat. Like, this is just going to be so much fun. So thank you so much for having me.
It is so much fun. So do you want to share with the audience maybe where in the world you're based? Because obviously right now I'm still in New Zealand and you're way on the other side of the world. And you also, you know, if you want to share some of your story and that sort of thing as well.
Absolutely. What time is it there, by the way, right now?
It is 11:11 a.m., believe it or not.
No kidding. I just had to laugh. It's so hilarious. We're off to a great start.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I am in Vail, Colorado, and I'm definitely a mountain girl through and through. I was born and raised in Boulder, so just down the road. If you guys know Colorado, you know, it's hard not to love. So I've been all over the world and I always end up coming back here because it's just where my heart is. So that's just where my home base is right now. You guys might hear a little bit of static noise because there's a huge river in my backyard, which is amazing.
Yeah. I so want to go to Colorado. It's still a place I haven't been, but I have to put it on my list. And then we can go out for an actual cup of tea instead of a virtual.
House trade. I'll go to New Zealand. You can come to Colorado and then we can meet for tea somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. Perfect.
Perfect. So my story, let's see, you know, people are always like, so what's your story? And you got to condense it, of course. So my general story is, you know, I'm a high level entrepreneur at this point with, you know, visionary soulpreneurs, as I call them, where they're women who are just really seeking to change the world. And that has, you know, it's a very vast mission, right? Change the world. But I really love women who have like the specific desire to just do whatever the hell it takes to do it and to change things and to shift the paradigm and to enter into a new way of earning money, living life, you know, exchanging intimacy and love and relationship and all of the above. So all of this, you know, I don't think we're ever like, oh, I want to be a coach when I grow up. Like, it's just not really the career that people aspire to be. But then it just falls into your lap and there you are. And you just, you run with it and you're like, wait, this is everything I knew I never wanted. I don't know if you can identify with that.
Oh yeah, I know exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, I graduated college with a degree in art and digital media. And I went into a 9-to-5 where I was doing a lot of graphic design and designing mm-hmm. websites. And I just had this part of me that was, you know, I was earning like $20 an hour at that point, which was great. You know, right out of college, I was like, oh, okay, this is abundance to me. I didn't know anything else really.
Yeah.
And I felt very grateful for all of those opportunities that I did have. But then one day, I swear, my friends were like, hey, Aislinn, we're going to Costa Rica. Do you want to come? I was like, absolutely. I'll drop everything. Like, I'll come. So we were there for 3 weeks. And I ended up making the most fantastic connections. And it was the most... Really, my boss, I was like, hey, I have to move to Central America. I was like, I have to. I don't know what's calling me there. I just have to go. Mm-hmm. And I moved there. I got a job at a yoga studio. I'm a yoga teacher. And I was earning about $2 an hour, Costa Rican wage.
Yeah.
And I was so broke. I had to book a flight home on a credit card, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I was just immersed in this new energy of just consciousness. Costa Rica is very aware of renewable energy and sustainable energy and, you know, elevating your mindset through self-care and, you know, connecting to the earth. That was just like such a cool environment to be in for so long. And I came back here and just immersed myself in my own personal development work because it just was literally screaming at me. Like, I don't know if you know that feeling, but you have no choice but to do it. At one point you just have to say, okay, I surrender, universe. Like, I hear you. This is going to suck. Like, I'm so uncomfortable, but then you do the things that suck and then you realize they didn't suck so bad and you grow as a person.
Oh yeah. Oh, I know the feeling. And I like laugh at myself now because I really feel like the personal development journey never ends. And now, like, when I notice myself like feeling resistance or uncomfortable about a topic or something, I'm like, oh great, here we go. This is my next thing. I'm going to be like, in a few months, I'll be super passionate and talking about this. Even though right now I'm like, oh, get away from me.
It's totally it. It's like this love, hate, continuous roller coaster. And obviously I think you would agree that we wouldn't change it for the world. Like, we're in it, we're committed, and it makes it so fulfilling, you know, when you do succeed and you do find that abundance. So like, you know, I immersed myself in that personal development world and all of a sudden I started a yoni egg shop and I was doing a lot of feminine work around womb healing. And then I turned into, you know, a business coach, and here I am a year later into that. And I've, you know, surpassed 6 figures in this business. And it just feels like the most abundant, easy, well, I don't even want to say easy necessarily. It's like easy in the way that it's like, it just literally falls in your lap sometimes when you're in the right alignment, right? Yeah. Like, that's what I mean, easy. Of course, you're like nose to the grindstone in it. You're up till, you know, 3 a.m. sometimes doing what you got to do, but it's easy because you love it.
Yeah, I totally resonate with that as well. And it's almost like, yeah, there's so much ease to it because it feels so right as well. But that doesn't really, it doesn't mean that it's not also at the same time hard work in some senses, you know? So it's definitely like requires a specific amount of energy and commitment, but there is ease and flow to it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, ease and flow isn't you sitting on your couch meditating all day. Like, ease and flow is you just face deep in 10 books and, you know, you're just like, and spending hundreds of dollars on like Reiki because you need your energy to be like on point.
Oh yeah. And
that sounds kind of silly. Like, those are trials and tribulations that are fairly, you know, they're in the grand scheme of things. Like, we're blessed to be able to have those opportunities, but being an entrepreneur, it takes so much work. And a female entrepreneur, there's so much that goes into you having to listen to your body. You know what I mean? Which I'm really excited to dive into more of that talking to you.
Yeah, I know. And it is such an incredible topic as well, because like, I know, as we were just preparing for the podcast, we were talking about this whole topic of being able to attract abundance from a place of pleasure. And I think it's just such an incredible topic to be covering because, really, in my own journey, like, I didn't even realize like how many of those things in our life are related. And I think you start to realize that as well when you are, you know, doing personal development and that kind of thing. You start to see that actually everything in life is so interconnected, and like little
like, basically, like, for example, you have to be able to have fun. You have to be able to experience pleasure. You have to be able to have good physical health and, you know, something that you're working towards. And like all of these aspects really come into play. And it's like, you have to kind of go through each area and make sure that you are finding alignment and joy and like flow in all those areas in order to really keep leveling up, because otherwise you are going to get stagnant at some point and just like stop. And absolutely. And I think as a society as well, like whether it's like in a sexual or a non-sexual way, people have just forgotten how to have, like how to experience pleasure and absolute joy in what they do. So I'm really excited to dive more into that. Do you want to like start us off with like, how did you get into this? Or I guess like it's a lot of what you are already doing with like the yoni eggs and everything, but what kind of makes you feel it's like such an important topic, or what's been your experience with that?
So my perspective and what I've seen and what I've experienced is that when you're not experiencing pleasure in your life, I'm not going to say that you should be experiencing pleasure at all times. Like this is a topic to be, it's a very important topic to have honor around. And, you know, you want to be careful because so many people experience trauma around sexuality and it mm-hmm. is a topic that people have really intense opinions about. Yeah. So this is to be spoken about with like the highest reverence, of course. And so open mind, but I do feel that when we're out of alignment in our life with what our soul mission is, with, you know, the people we're supposed to be with, the job we're supposed to be in, when we're not in alignment, we don't feel pleasure. Mm-hmm. Like our body cuts us off almost as a sign that says, hey, you're in the wrong place. You're with the wrong person. Like you're not feeling safe in this moment to be as pleasurable, as bright, as vibrant as you could potentially and possibly be. Mm. And so it's a big red flag for your body when you shut down that area. Mm. And it's just an invitation, not a big red flag. It's more an invitation for you to step into, how do I heal this? How do I find this again? How do I enter into me and my body feeling safe and able to be a successful person? And you know what I mean by that is that we're wired for success. Mm-hmm. We're wired for connection, right? Like we're wired for pleasure. And when we can embrace that and use it to our fullest potential, everything starts to change.
Yeah.
You start to earn more money. You start to attract the right people into your life. You start mm-hmm. to become a miracle magnet. And it's just, it is magical. Mm-hmm. I think you would probably agree, right? Like it's just, you start to find new ways to relate to being a human, which otherwise you would feel cut off from, or, you know, shamed by or mm-hmm. from. So yeah, I don't even know how I really started, to be honest. Like when I lived in Costa Rica, maybe I was just like stumbling upon some websites and then I saw yoni eggs and I mm-hmm. ordered one. My boyfriend bought it or brought it down from the US to Costa Rica. And so I started using it down there when I lived in like a shack on the beach, literally. Mm-hmm. So fun. There were like tarantulas in my shower and crabs in my drain. And it was hilarious. Like, yeah, I lived amongst the wildlife.
Yeah.
So I was playing around with just being like a goddess. I was being a jungle goddess. And I was so connected to earth and just connected mm-hmm. to sex. Like my relationship was just on fire and like it still is, but at that point we were just free and living, you know, with such little. And mm-hmm. it was a really fun time to just explore what I was capable of. So this yoni egg thing, I ordered an amethyst yoni egg and I love mm-hmm. amethyst.
Yeah, it's so beautiful.
Stones. I have like a huge geode on my desk.
Amazing.
And then all of a sudden, you know, I was a year into using it. I was like, this needs to be shared with the world. It's just so wonderful. Mm-hmm. And it helped me connect to my anatomy in a way that I just had no idea about before. Mm-hmm. I've always been a very like sexual person, but this just led me to more of a ritual relationship with my body, a worshiping, you know, does that make sense? Where?
Yeah. And just briefly as well, do you mind sharing what a yoni egg is? Because there might be some people who don't actually know.
Absolutely. They're probably like, what the hell are they talking about right now? So a yoni egg is a small egg-shaped crystal that you put in your vagina. It's like a Kegel weight. It is, you know, people have heard of Benoit balls and that kind of thing, mm-hmm. but a yoni egg is egg-shaped, and it's really amazing for your anatomy, like in terms of how it fits with your body. And the symbol of an egg is, you know, it's a symbol of abundance and fertility and miracles, right? So It has a lot of symbolic importance and value to it. But what it does, it helps to strengthen your pelvic floor, and it helps to heighten your sensitivity, your orgasmic potential. If you have incontinence and you're, you know, healing from childbirth, it's a really wonderful practice. So I could talk about the benefits forever, but we'll like save that for another time.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, yoni eggs are just, I started to share them very casually through Instagram, and it just, boom, like took off.
Yeah.
And here I am now with like a super successful shop and an affiliate program, which I just launched last week. So, you know, yoni eggs have been this portal of self-awareness, of embracing my femininity and my body and not being ashamed by my lady parts, you know what I mean? Which so many women are. And this is a topic that like I'm so used to talking about right now that I like have no nervousness at all. But I know a lot of people do hear this and they're like, what in the world is she talking about?
Yeah.
It's hilarious. But giving people permission to talk about this is like healing in itself.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's one of the reasons I thought it'd be so cool to talk about this with you as well on the podcast, because I mean, I know for myself, and I think I've shared it with you before, but I still carry aspects of shame around it. And it's like, but I also love calling myself out on it, because that's how I know I'm going to get past it. And I think it's just really like powerful for other people to realize as well that it is actually, it should be really normal to be able to talk about this stuff. And especially for women, I mean, I'm sure you know more about this and I'd love you to share, but I mean, we harness so much of our power and our potential through that energy and through like having a good relationship with every aspect of ourselves.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just, you see this in movies all the time, right? Where, you know, someone enters a relationship and they fall in love and they're having great sex. And then all of a sudden, like they make a ton of money and it's all just like this miraculous romanticized fairy tale. Right. Yeah. And I see that, I'm like, oh, that's great. You know, Hollywood is totally, you know, they're blowing the theme up, which they do a lot. So the theme is, when you feel good about yourself, you start to become, you know, an attraction, a magnet, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm stumbling over my words. a miracles. Anyways, you know, it's just fun to see when you feel good in your body, when you're having good sex, when you feel a deep intimacy with yourself, you start to attract people who want to be intimate with you. And I don't mean having sex with you. I mean, like they want your energy. They want to be in your energy, and they will invest in your energy through time, through money, whatever that happens to be. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's almost like when you can turn yourself on, turn on your vibrance, turn on your potential to show up really like in your truth, in your rawness, in your femininity, you get to become like this new level of you, and you just shed the layers that don't matter anymore. And you start to recognize that like you can choose to be in that state of mind and state of being. And it's actually like, let's just turn on the switch. And the yoni egg helps to activate that part of you, along with the mindset work too. Right. But yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. It's so cool. It's awesome to see. So, in terms of the actual, I guess, like the other, because we are talking about obviously as well experiencing abundance, right, through this whole practice. And are there any other things that you can recommend? Like what other things can you do, whether it's mindset work or anything else that can kind of help with that shift as well? Like for someone who is wanting to make, I guess, like experience more pleasure in their life and therefore more abundance and amazing things in their life. Like what else have you got to share on that?
Oh gosh. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to make a polarizing statement here.
Okay.
You know, how you show up for pleasure is how you show up for money.
Mm.
And if you're blocked in that area, you're resistant to it and you feel like it's unsafe, typically they mirror one another.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating because you might say, oh, no, I'm not blocked in pleasure. Like I've got great orgasms. Like I can have good sex with my partner, but I'm poor AF, you know? What does that mean? How is that possible? And of course they're different, but when you can acknowledge that, you know, you've done the mindset work around abundance, you've done the mindset work around pleasure, what it comes down to is asking for what you need, mm-hmm. really. Like being able to declare your needs and your desires without mm-hmm. feeling like, oh, I'm going to inconvenience someone if I state this, right? Yeah. Like, I'm not going to inconvenience my potential client by telling them what I price my programs at. Yeah. No, like mm-hmm. you're not going to inconvenience someone if you tell them how you like to be pleasured and they can't do that. Like that's a great sign for you to move on into better alignment with someone different who can provide what you need. Mm-hmm. Move into better alignment with the money and the money mindset that can provide what you need, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're co-creating with the universe. So when you're out of alignment and you're not even willing, or you're almost like shy in asking for what you need, you're just not going to get it. It's just not going to happen in the way that you want it to. And then you're going to find this resentment or shame or guilt or regret around your potential because you know you're worth and desiring so much more, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's so important too, because like, I guess like as well, when you think of the whole, like, the masculine and feminine energies, and also, and by that I mean like our internal energies, for like the feminine being that more receiving state and the masculine being the more like doing state and taking action, and you know, that aspect when it comes to any aspect in our life, you know, whether it is our business or any goals that we're pursuing, there actually has to be such a good balance between that. And I think that the one part where I personally have struggled the most, but as well, like I've seen other people as well, is actually being in that receptive state. Like people, it's almost like when you know you want something, you feel like you have to do more and like create more and just hustle more and get more done. But really, it actually allows, you actually have to create a space and an energy where you're doing, but then also sitting back and receiving. Right. And that's what I think is exactly what you're talking about, is really like being able to receive in every area, because how you do one thing is how you do everything. Right. Like, so we have to allow ourselves to receive. And I guess like in a space of pleasure or sex or anything like that, that's probably where people often have the biggest barrier, but is also like that foundation for how we allow ourselves to receive in other areas of our life. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yes. Mm. Yeah, I love what you say. You know, you're creating the space to receive that. Like, it's a decision. You get to take yourself out of the victim mentality of this is happening, you know, to me as opposed to for me, and yeah. making decisive actions and creating that from a place of ownership, right, and sovereignty. Mm-hmm. And when you're balancing the feminine, the masculine, like that's so important. I'm really happy that you brought that up, because yeah. a lot of people are all about the feminine, all about the divine feminine, and like women. And like, if we can't appreciate the natural like power of the masculine energy, whether that's a physical human, you know, in a relationship, whatever, mm-hmm. if you can't acknowledge his power and his, I mean, not specific to gender, but like the masculine energy's power, then you're really like, you're tripping yourself, because you need that balance. So being expansive and in your feminine and being able to receive miracles and money and pleasure, like opportunities, all of the good stuff. And then being able to hold your boundaries and be able to provide for yourself, like, not relying on fate, not relying on, oh, just this is my circumstance, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and deciding from that masculine perspective of I am deciding, I'm taking ownership over this part of my life that I just don't really like right now, and I'm going to change it. I'm going to become an abundant babe. Like, I'm going to do it.
I love that. And I feel like it's such a, it's like, I almost feel like when I say it, it's like annoying. Because it's one of those like that advice that you give that's like so simple. It's like, how am I going to do it? And you're like, just do it. And then it's like, yeah, but what the heck? And I feel like that's kind of how that advice feels sometimes. But at the same time, I feel as well that the reason why you give that advice is because when you've actually started applying it or seeing aspects of your life benefiting from it, you actually realize it does come down to that really simple decision, like making a decision to make a shift in your life is really what it comes down to. And I know Tony Robbins like preaches so big about this as well. Like, the moment you decide is when everything changes, and how quickly can you make a decision in an instant? It's just normally that all the work it takes to get up to that point to make the decision is the hard part.
Exactly. You know?
But right. Like, have you got any like examples or anything to share about like maybe something specific where you made a decision that really then impacted and changed things?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Gosh, this is like, we could talk forever about all this stuff. I love it. Because yes, the way that we're speaking could be ambiguous, right? People are like, okay, but how?
Yeah.
And that's the big question, you know, and whenever you're asking how first, you're asking the wrong question first. You know, it's instead, what will this take for me to get there, and not how will it, how, like, you don't need to know the how, right? Like,
I love it.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about what will this take? So, you ask the question, what will this take? And you start to enter into that receiving mode of, you know, listening and watching and observing what is coming onto your path that you're maybe in your previous, you know, years, you would have been oblivious to. But now that you have that extra awareness of recognizing that you've asked this question and now you're waiting for some kind of answer, you're seeing things in a different light. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing things of, oh, this is potentially an answer to this question. And there's not just one answer, but
yeah.
You know, for me, I was like, you know, what would it take for me to become a 6-figure coach in 1 year? Yeah. What would it take for me to, you know, to have the most amazing relationship I could possibly imagine? You mm-hmm. ask the question and then you start to just sit back and observe what could be possible for you.
Yeah.
So what started to happen for me was that I literally wrote this down. If you're not journaling, journal. Like, if I could give you any action step, it's to use pen and paper, get off of your laptop, get off of your phone, and get into, like, you know, good old fashioned paper.
Yeah. And for those of you, just
seriously, like,
quick note on that, for those of you who've been listening to the podcast for a while, how many of these incredible speakers we've had on have given you this tip? So, I mean, seriously, if you're not journaling, get it together.
There's a thread of similarity here.
Yeah.
But I've literally journaled since I was in second grade. Wow. It was, of course, like, I played with Sarah today. I went to the playground today. I ate this for lunch today. But now it's much more like, all right, universe, help me out. Like, let's co-create this together and I will write it down. What will it take for me to earn, you know, $12,000 in the next 2 weeks? What will it take for me to enter into the next level of pleasure for my body? Like, ask the question, write it down, and then start to just process it. And what do I mean by processing it is to notice whenever you have some kind of thought that comes in that says, ooh, you are not worthy of that. Mm-hmm. Or that is impossible. Or you are so unrealistic. Those three things are mm-hmm. just, they're going to stop you in your tracks and you're going to get nowhere. You start to listen to that. Oh, that's unrealistic, but like, good luck.
Yeah.
That for me, I'm like, get ready to rumble. Like, we are going to do this thing. And now I have even more fuel. You know?
I feel the exact same way.
It was hilarious. I was like, I told my mom last year, I was like, hey mom, I'm going to make 6 figures in like under 8 months. Like, I just, I'm going to. And she was like, wow, honey, like, I haven't seen that amount of money ever, you know, in my life. Like, that's amazing. And she was, of course, she's my mom. Like, she's going to cheer me on. But I could still hear where she was like, that's impossible.
Like, wow.
You know, just silly things where if you let people say like, that's impossible, and you attach your identity to that and your belief system to that, like, you're going to get nowhere real quick. So
yeah.
I would write it down and just ask yourself the questions and then be ready to receive the potential answers that come in, which for you, it could be, I mean, everybody has their different things, right? But like mm-hmm. angel numbers, or for me, like, what really started to activate this decision in terms of a commitment was just deciding that I was worthy of investing in myself.
Mm.
Whoa, like, so scary. So scary. And I had never spent more than, like, I don't know, $1,500 on myself before. I'd spent money on yoga trainings and that kind of thing.
Yep.
But all of a sudden it was, it was $400, and then it was $1,500, and then it was $3,500, and then it was $8,000. You know, it just kept rising as I adjusted my thermostat, right? Like Melanie Ann Layer, actually, she's all about the money thermostat. It's something she taught me.
Yeah.
And as you raise your money thermostat, the 8,000 feels just as the 400 did.
Yeah.
Like once upon a time.
Yeah.
You know, you keep rising, and the big things become normal. So yeah. Making things no big deal. That's one of my favorite things. It's like NBD, no big deal. How can I make this no big deal if it feels like a really big deal?
Yeah. I love
and
then it.
Working through those self-limiting, you know, beliefs of, oh no, I can't do that, or I'm not worthy of that, or that's never been done before, so I can't do it ever, you know, in my future.
Yeah. I love this topic as well. If we can briefly touch on that as well, like the investing in yourself aspect, because I think this is such a big topic, because as a society, we're really like, I guess like told that it's okay to spend like $200 on a new pair of shoes, or like go spend $1,500 on a flight to go on a holiday, or to spend, I don't know, like however much for makeup and for clothes and for cars. Like cars are a really big one as well. That kind of is, if someone says like, oh, I'm getting a loan to buy a car, it's like, oh, cool. But if you said to someone, I'm getting a loan to like get a coaching package, they'd be like, what? Are you crazy? Like, you know, spending $200 for a coaching call, or $1,000 for a program, or like $10,000 for a program. Like, you know, it doesn't even matter what the scale is. If it's any amount where people invest in themselves, that money feels so differently. And I think as well, though, exactly like what you said, you were worthy, you decided you were worthy to invest in.
Yeah.
I think, you know, and that is such an important mindset shift, because really it's like, why would you invest in yourself if you didn't think that you were going to achieve your goals, right? You wouldn't.
Absolutely.
But if you believed in yourself and you're like, I'm going to do this no matter what, then what's $10,000 like of an investment into coaching, or, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah. It's so, I love that you know, brought in like the material things and how we justify that.
Yeah.
Because people are so anchored into 3D. Like people are so anchored into humanity and like, mm-hmm. I'm only human. Like you're human. Like you've got unlimited potential. Fantastic. Yeah. You're on planet Earth.
Yeah.
And so when people say, oh, I'm not worthy of investing that amount of money in myself, it's purely because they just don't trust themselves in getting the results. Because investing in yourself, like, is just simply the most trustworthy thing that you know, you're committing to.
Yeah.
So you can trust a car. A car's going to take you from A to B. You can trust your shoes. They're going to fit great. Right. But like investing in yourself is a huge risk if you don't believe that you're worth that. And so it just stems back to our society in terms of like, people just don't believe that they can do things differently.
Yeah.
Like if they don't believe that all of a sudden they invest, you know, whatever, it doesn't even matter the amount of money.
Yeah.
But if they say, okay, I'm going to do this, and then all of a sudden they fail, it's an attachment to their ego, right?
Yeah.
An attachment to my reputation. And people have these two fears. Here's my perspective.
Yeah.
We either are afraid of abandonment or we're afraid of death, right? Mm-hmm. So kind of entering some like heavier topics here, but, you know, abandonment meaning void of love,
mm-hmm.
right? Like it's all an external attachment to the what if, to the
yeah.
potential disaster, or what if, you know, we don't have a tribe, and what mm-hmm. if all of a sudden, you know, we die tomorrow. Like
yeah.
those are our biggest fears. And that's why we have a really hard time surrendering to trusting in like the greater good, because our soul knows that we're going to be just fine.
Yeah.
Even if we die, we're going to be just fine.
Yeah.
And our soul knows that regardless of like actual humans abandon us, like we have the inner love of the universe, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
In investing in yourself, you are like subconsciously facing your deepest fears.
Yeah.
Of just what if everything crumbles. And it's scary.
It's totally scary. Yeah.
So doing it once is scary. Doing it the second time is scary. It doesn't get any less scary, but it does get more exciting, I feel like.
Yeah, because I think as well, you can start to see the pattern and you can start to build more trust in the process. But I always say that as well, like the difference between someone who's like successful in what they're doing and someone who's not, and you or whoever is like, it's not that one person doesn't have fear around those decisions. It's just one person chooses to manage their fear and not buy into it. Right.
Right.
So, like, yeah, it never really leaves you.
Never leaves you, but you get to a point where you're like, okay, I trust in myself now. Like I've seen the success, but you know, possible for me. And for people who are just beginning, they're like, well, what if I haven't seen that success? How am I supposed to trust myself? And it's just a simple question of, is this fear or is this excitement?
Yeah.
Like, because it really is the same thing. And it's simply a choice to put a positive spin on the fear and say, oh, I'll be okay. I will be okay if I fail. And in fact, the failure makes the story so much better in the long run.
Yeah.
Well, an entrepreneur, our stories are so important, you know? Mm-hmm. And I started putting all my stuff on credit cards when I first started. I didn't have the cash.
Yeah.
I was making $2,000 a month, you know, in my web design job. And it just really like, $2,000 is probably a lot for some people. It's probably a little for some people, but you figure it out. You really start to look for other options. If you know you want something that bad, right? Yeah. Like you're going to say, I trust myself enough to figure this out. Mm. And I'm just going to roll with the punches and see what happens and see what miracles I can attract here.
And I think also it is one of those things that like really draws a line in the sand, because not only is it like you like, I believe in myself. It's like, no, like here's proof. I believe in myself. And it's like when I first started on my entrepreneurial journey, I decided to quit my job. And for me, that was like that line in the sand. And I like after that, everything started to shift and align, because it was just like, I have no other option. And I trust myself enough that I, you know, I can leave my job. And I think as well on that topic of investing in yourself, it's like, if you, like get all the free resources you can, cause there's so many available to you. But then at one point as well, like know that it's like part of the process, you know, like, the best thing you can do is just really announce to yourself and make that decision you are worthy and start investing in yourself. Cause you are going to like, what is like anything you invest in yourself pays tenfold. Right. So
in one way or another, like people get so attached to, if I invest this amount of money, like hopefully of course that same amount of money and more will come back.
Yeah.
But sometimes we forget that abundance is not just financial, but it is in our growth and our evolution and the way that we relate to people. Like if we spend $500 on a program and, you know, we're expecting to make $500 back and more, and we don't, we feel it's a failure. We feel like, you know, we want to blame the provider, the leader or whatever. And it's like, wait a second, like, are you aware of everything else that could have potentially come to you from that investment? Like how are your relationships? How is your relationship with yourself? And, I think that of course money makes things easier and we will all want to make a lot of it, at least enough that we feel comfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, who wants to be uncomfortable, really? Not everyone. I'm sure there's somebody out there listening who's like, oh, I can live on absolutely nothing, but like that's not me. I really appreciate my material comforts and I'm okay saying that. And investing in yourself, it's like abundance can come back to you in so many different ways, like 50-fold.
And also it's like it's one of those gifts that keeps on giving, if you know what I mean, because if you work with someone and they help you see a different perspective on something in your life or overcome a limiting belief or whatever, it's like that now has changed the trajectory of your life. Because, you know, if you like are someone who maybe doesn't believe that you have the skill to do it, but then this is a really simplistic example, but then in the program or the coach or whatever you do, you invest in, you start to realize, oh, actually I can learn whatever skills I need to know. You know, like imagine someone's life who lives out their full life believing they don't have the skills, so they can't do it, versus I can always learn the skills I need. You know, like it's a very different life that will unfold for you.
Yes, exactly. You know, that's something that I really like to take my clients through. And it's a good exercise for anybody to journal, you know, in one page, what would happen if I stayed here now with the same life, you know, nothing changes. Uh-huh. Let's just talk about what that looks like and visualize that and feel it and embody it. And now let's take a look at, you know, of taking ownership and taking those, you know, leaps of investing in yourself and doing the things that really scare you for your greater good and for the greater good of everybody. And what do those look like when you compare them? Like you yeah. have just, I don't know anybody who would say, oh, no, I'm just going to stay here.
Yeah.
I'm just going to not change anything for forever. And you know, it's just,
yeah.
Everyone would, if they themselves, they would choose option B.
Yeah. Mm. And it's like that whole, it's not what if it doesn't work, what if it does work?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You know, we have human nature go straight to the negative consequences.
Mm-hmm.
We always default because of our reptilian brains. We default to what is the worst case scenario here out of survival?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's where our human and soul selves battle. And the soul mm-hmm. is like, hey, girl, you don't need to turn on your reptilian brain right now. Like, you're held, you're safe, you're divinely loved and supported. And then your human self is like, but what if this? But what if I die? But what if this? But what if I fail? But what if I'm abandoned? What yeah. if my family needs me? All of that stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get to say, I'm going to overrule. I'm going to overpower. This gets a veto. Like, we're going to go with the soul decision.
Yeah.
And it's harder. It's absolutely yeah. harder. But like, it's
not
harder
in the long run, though.
Not in the long run. Exactly. Exactly. Like the soul knows about long-term investments and commitments. The human is thinking about what if I, you know, what about tomorrow?
Yeah.
Like what about the next few minutes?
Yeah.
And it's completely overriding, you know, what that reptilian brain is trying to talk you out of
yeah.
and into that love and into the soul and into the universal abundance that is really like, it really just wants to give, 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 and give some more.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's what I always say as well. Like, it's actually impossible to get excited about something, you know, be pulled towards something that you actually, your soul doesn't know that you're, how am I saying this? That you're not like, that you're capable of. Like, if you're, it's impossible to want something that you're not capable of doing. Right. So it's like, if you desire it, it's because your soul is like basically whispering in your ear, hey, this is possible for you. Do you want to go like do this? And that like fear side is just like that space that we're in right now. Like, you know, if we think about that, even that real like simplistic picture you see sometimes of like the comfort zone and then the things you want outside of your comfort zone, like the walls of the comfort zone are basically made up of all the fears keeping you there, all of the belief patterns keeping you in that space. Right. And so as you start to penetrate that and working towards your goal, it's like, of course they're going to come up, but it's not like, oh shit, this is my reality. Like I can't do it because blah, blah. It's like, oh, cool. So this is now I being identified as a belief that has kept me here away from my goal. Right. And so you go, that's cool. And you decide not to buy into that. You know, it's okay to feel the feelings and whatever, but it's like at the end of the day, your decision, whether you're going to listen to that calling of your soul that knows your highest good, or whether you're going to fall back into that space of not trusting in that, you know?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. I've definitely suffered with anxiety in my past. It's kind of like my thing that I have to work through. And yeah. when you're in that comfort bubble, your fears feel like they're impenetrable steel.
Yeah.
You know? Like you feel like this bubble is, I'm just here. I'm just staying here. There's no way I'm going anywhere else. Like my anxiety is just way too high right now to even think about crossing that boundary, you know? Yeah. And that's mm-hmm. like a whole nother topic to just enter into, I guess. But it is a very visceral feeling when you're just thinking about that you're kind of on lockdown by your mm-hmm. fears
mm-hmm.
and you see the growth zone over there. Like you yeah. see the potential, you see the success, yeah. it's way over there. Like you're waving yeah. to it, but there's no way you're going to jump over that mm-hmm. steel barrier. And then all of a sudden you start to empower yourself again, right? You start to think about gratitude. You start to write in your journal. You start to talk to your friends who get you and they understand you, and you reach out to a community who's like, hey, Aislinn, or hey, Viola, like, remember who you are.
Yeah.
And you start to remember and you start to glow.
Yeah.
G-L-O-W. You're glowing.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the stainless steel, like, just insane boundary begins to fade. And it's like an osmosis thing. This is a very visual thing. I hope people are like with me, yeah. visual story, but you start to like walk up to that boundary of fear. Right. And you're just like, you put your hand on it and you realize it wasn't steel. It was the illusionist deal. And you put your hand through it and you're like, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, I can actually walk through this thing.
You know what I mean? That is such a good way to put it.
It's I've never had that like happen before. Really, that was the first time I'd imagined that. So that was cool.
Yeah. But you know, have you heard as well about like, which I find this really sad, but you know how they like train elephants to like do stuff over in Asia to like for tourists. Yes. But how they train them is when they're babies, they put like a chain, like a metal chain around their ankle so they can't go away. But then actually over time they replace it with just a really simple little thread, like thread, that's not the right word, what do you call it, like a rope, but like one that they could easily, like, I mean, a ginormous elephant could literally just take one step and like be free. But because they're so conditioned to believe that they can't get away, because as a baby with the steel they couldn't get away, then they actually never actually try to run away anymore. And it's just so sad, because, but it goes to show that conditioning that can happen. That we're so conditioned to believe that, oh my gosh, this is steel holding me in, like I'm never going anywhere. But then you're just like, oh wait, what if I just try to walk? And you're like, oh, look at that, like, I'm free.
Like, little side note, I went to Thailand and I volunteered at Elephant Nature Park.
Oh my gosh, amazing.
I just want to like shout them out, because if anybody wants to do elephant work, go to Elephant Nature Park in Thailand, because it's like they save all the elephants from that particular scenario that you were just talking about.
That's actually one of like my goals. Like, I went to Thailand, but I didn't do any of that stuff when I went. It was quite a few years ago. But when I go back, I so want to do something like that. So that's amazing.
Love all the elephants. Elephants, elephants. They're like my favorite animal ever.
I have an elephant tattoo.
Oh my God. That's so cute. I love it. Elephants are like one of my spirit animals, as are humpback whales. People are like, why is a humpback whale your spirit animal? And like, I didn't choose it, but it's mine.
But they're also like, whales are, they say they're like the gateway to the spiritual world, right?
That's true. They're
the gatekeepers.
Yeah, they're the gatekeepers. Very much true. Yeah. So what were we talking about? Like the impenetrable steel fear barrier. Yeah. And then like, yeah, you start to walk over into your growth zone. And the whole thing is like the steel will always come down on you. Just like that will always recur when you start to realize that like your illusion doesn't mean as much and it becomes much more flexible in the way that you relate to it and how you heal it. And the whole thing about healing is like, I don't really ever think healing is like, boom, everything's just solved, right? It's a consistent journey through healing, and it's always just peeling layer after layer after layer. And they're like the tiniest, thinnest layers ever. There can be rapid quantum healing, of course, but like typically healing is forever, which is beautiful. I mean, that's part of it. Like, wow, it's an opportunity. But yeah, I think, you know, the investing in yourself and the self-growth and the just the mindset work and committing to this is lifelong. Like you just said at the beginning. So the entrepreneurial spirit is, I feel like people are pretty masochistic in terms of like, do you like to suffer? Great. You'll do really wonderfully in the entrepreneurial world.
But again, it's such a funny topic, because it's so that like long-term versus short-term thing. Because like one of my fears that like, you know how that whole thing, you can be inspired by pleasure or by pain or whatever. But one of the big things that has inspired me from the very beginning and through all of my ups and downs is like, even if I never, which I know I will, but like if I never hit those like massive big goals that I have set for myself, I would rather get to the end of my life and know that I tried than look back and be like, oh my God, why didn't I do that thing? Why didn't I try? Like, it's one of my fears just to get to that stage in my life and be, look back and just be like, oh my gosh, what have I done?
That's like a motivating fear as opposed to an irrational fear.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Totally.
Let's alchemize the pain and turn it into a driving force of motivation in our life. And we're human. Like, we're here to experience contrast. We are here to experience polarity. This is something I'm so passionate about speaking about. Like, imagine if everything was just in unity all the time. Like, we wouldn't be human. We wouldn't live on a planet with poles. We wouldn't live in good and bad and light and dark and day and night. Like, it would just be soul and light and divinity, which is great, but like, we're going to go back there. Like, we're here to experience polarity now.
Yeah.
And embracing the contrast is something that it sounds so easy. And then you're like, wait, I'm experiencing the contrast, or I've experienced a loss in my life, or I'm having debilitating panic or anxiety, like all of those things. And then all of a sudden you're reminded that the contrast is what creates beauty, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I so agree with that. And again, like, I love how we're like getting like pocketing all of these like other amazing topics, but we're like, rein it in.
You're like all over the board here, which is great.
It's amazing though. Like, it's such an incredible topic. And as we sort of start to like wind down from the topic as well, like I would love to loop back to what we were talking about at the beginning, you know, which is really just like allowing ourselves to experience more abundance through pleasure and getting to know ourselves and listening to our own cues. Like, I'm wondering if you have maybe some like tips, like, I don't know how many, but however many you feel to share for someone who is wanting to maybe connect with themselves more, like start to be being able to like listen to their body and allowing themselves to move more into that receptive state and feel pleasure in a multitude of ways. Like, what kind of practices or tips do you have for people?
Absolutely. So, you know, tying it back to the polarity discussion, polarity is where, you know, we experience attraction, and and the contrast is what creates tension in good ways. And then all of a sudden we talk about pleasure, meaning unity. Pleasure is unity. If you, you can get on my boat here and just join me in this, in my perspective, when you are entering into orgasm, in the state of orgasm, you are eliminating the contrast of polarity in your life. So I'm sure all of us can recognize, or most of us, you know, and if you haven't, there's no shame in this, but when you've experienced orgasm, you know that you don't have any thoughts of polarity. You don't have any thoughts of, oh, this is great, or this is bad. Like, you just simply exist. You just are. You're just void of any attachment to your ego, right? It's light. It's light energy. So polarity is fantastic. But then when you can intentionally put yourself in places of unity and embody the sensation of unity on a daily basis, or as often as you can, you're going to be able to magnetize and align with your desires much more quickly. Meaning you'll be able to align yourself with your you know, money goals or your relationship goals. Because when intention is combined with unity, meaning there's intention in the way that you're orgasming, I guess you could say, then you start to amplify your attraction capacity. So if people have never heard of this before, it's a topic, you know, orgasmic manifestation is huge and it's very powerful. So if you're wanting to connect to your body through unity, through pleasure, start a self-pleasure practice if you don't have one already, but not just like get off. It's more to embrace the flow of like divine energy running through your body. And I know that sounds really like woo, but it really can impact your life in wonderful ways, impacting your relationship to your body and the way that you appreciate your body and you run, you know, gratitude codes through it. And also the way that you relate to your relationship, your bank account, you know, manifesting in an orgasmic capacity can change your life. So I would say number one is to, going back, I would say number one is actually to write down what your intentions are and what your goals are.
Yeah.
Two is to get into a place of pleasure in your body, meaning instead of just sitting down and eating the most delicious food without a care in the world, like pause. Look at it. What does it feel like? What does it smell like? What does it taste like? Get into your sensuality, meaning your senses, like become aware of your capacity to be a sensual human.
Yeah.
Because we've got five senses plus, like, I swear to God, we've got 50 plus more senses that we just don't really know about, but let's start with a five, you know? And then, you know, every single day you can incorporate a gratitude practice in drinking water, a gratitude practice in making love, a gratitude practice in even experiencing contrast and that polarity that we will experience on a day-to-day basis as human beings. I would say those are the few tips that I have. And getting into the embodiment is something that a lot of the spiritual world, we kind of ignore a little bit. We're like, ascend, 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 get higher, get brighter, get lighter, right? Like, let's get down. Let's bring it down and get into your root chakra, your sacral chakra, like get into your body. And that's where embodiment and enlightenment is really going to start to work for you.
Yeah. Mm.
It's not ignoring it. It's getting into it. Like the whole light love thing is fantastic, but like, let's get into our bodies and experience all the good and all the bad with reverence, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And because as well, like we're as much as we're like souls and spiritual beings, we're actually in a human body on Earth. So
right. Like we're here for a reason, guys.
Yeah. Like, don't forget that, guys. We have a body. This is Earth.
Like, your greatest tool. I swear it's your greatest tool. I had such a huge thing when I was little, like I hated the word body. It was so weird. It was so weird. Like whenever my mom would say it, I was like, ugh, like stop saying that word, mom. And then now here I am like talking about it and preaching about it. And it goes to show that you can turn your pain into your power, and you can turn the things that really like were not a part of your story into really empowering parts of your story.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just funny to see the full thing and full circle and looking back, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that is such incredible advice. Thank you so much for sharing that. And one question I just love to ask everyone who comes on the show is, what's your daily routine like? Like, do you have a morning routine or a weekly routine that you like to stick by that you feel really, I think you've alluded to some of it already, but you know, that keeps you feeling aligned and on purpose and in that, I guess, vibe of abundance. And
yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I've got plenty of days where I don't feel that way. I don't feel like, great, it's the day, we're gonna seize it. You know,
there's
the contrast in my life. Like, I don't wanna ever, you know, put that illusion out into the world that like everything's always dandy and I've got my morning routine on lockdown. Like, I don't, but it's worked for me regardless. So my morning routine is, you know, sometimes it changes, but I get up, I sleep in, except for Wednesdays when I teach yoga. I don't really have to get up for anything, which is a blessing. And I'm so grateful for that. So I get to sleep and then I get up and I take my time, I dry brush.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, it's a really invigorating practice for my body just to awaken. I take a shower. I take like 3 showers a day. I'm a Pisces. I just like, I need the water. And whenever I'm feeling off, I take a shower. It's like, go take a shower. Just when in doubt, take a shower. So I take a shower and I have soap that I smell like, it's just so delicious. I'm really intentional with my senses, right? Mm-hmm. So I love the smell of my soap in my shower. And I love the smell of the lotion that I put on when I get out of my shower.
Mm.
And, you know, I make it really intentional in how I'm treating my body in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I always have a superfood shake in the morning with like all my vitamins and or celery juice. You know, we didn't really get into the whole health thing, but like health is so, so big.
Yeah.
And so celery juice and like all my vitamins and just superfoods and mushroom coffee and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So it is a really physical practice in my morning. And then
beautiful.
I have my journal right here, which is absolutely like, it's actually velvet and it says magic on the front for those of you listening to the podcast, but, it's amazing. And, and so I'll write down, this might happen in my morning. It might happen sometime during the day, but I'll write down, you know, what am I creating today?
Mm-hmm.
What am I allowing into my life today? What am I releasing from my life today? You know, just more about that influx, outflux, and how it serves me and my, you know, just my vibe. So that's generally my routine. I like to make, you know, myself comfortable in the day. So I very rarely wear like real clothes. If I'm working at home, I'll wear like yoga pants and just make sure I feel good. And then typically in the afternoon, I'll put on some soca or Nigerian like dance music. I know it's really hilarious, like Nigerian dance music, like what? But I dance and I move my hips and I just like, you know, I get into my body. And then if a pleasure practice feels in alignment with my body that day, I will self-pleasure or make love to my man, or, you know, it's typically like an afternoon thing. everybody has their own their own favorite time of day. So yeah, that's kind of like the things that I implement into my day to day that makes my vibe lifted, you know, it just feels good.
Yeah, love it. That's so cool. Thank you so much for sharing. And if people want to connect with you more, like, where can you send them? Like, where can they be a part of your community or just hear more about the message that you have to share?
Absolutely. So I love Facebook. You can find me at Aislinn Walton, A-I-S-L-I-N-N Walton. Just Facebook me, friend me, send me a message. Totally open to having conversations with people. And then on Instagram, I'm at Abundance Witch, just one word. I love Instagram. It's been like my favorite platform since 2014 or something. So it's it's going well.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a Facebook group called Spirited Soulpreneurs. So you can join my Facebook group. I'm not as active, to be totally honest, in that group at this point as I would like to be, but it's something I'm working on.
Yeah.
And the last thing is my yoni egg shop is called moonrootyonieggs.com, M-O-O-N-R-O-O-T. Mm-hmm. So you can check all that out. And I have a free ebook as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've got lots of new things in the works, so I'm super excited about what's to come.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, loving everything that you're doing. And yeah, the Yoni Egg ebook, I actually downloaded that as well. It's really good. So definitely recommend that for anyone wanting to learn more about Yoni Eggs or anything. Like, it's really good.
Thank you.
Yeah, so thank you so much for being on the podcast. It's been so amazing having you, and thank you for sharing so like honestly, and yeah, your message has just been so great. So I really, really appreciate it. And to everyone listening, like, go connect with Aislinn, connect with me, let us know what you thought of the episode, let us know, you know, your favorite takeaways. And yeah, we can't wait to connect with you more. So thank you, Aislinn, again. And
thank you,
yeah, and to all the listeners, we'll see you next week.